Father, we are believing for miracles here this morning. Lord, I believe you've already done some miracles during worship. And I believe you want to do so much more. I pray that our hearts are open to all that you want to do in our lives as individuals, as a church. That, Lord God, that we would glorify you in every way. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking the last number of weeks about the struggle that we deal with in life and using the background of Jacob and his life. Now, he was a guy that struggled with a lot. You know, right even before he was born, there was a struggle inside the womb. And he comes out second. And so there's this struggle to be first. And it goes on and on and on. And so he works very hard to be number one, but he does it through deception. He does it through deceit, through lying and cheating and all these different things. And that's not the way God does things, is it? It's just not the way God does things. And we need to, as God's people, not to fall to that way of doing things. And as Jacob grew up, he made his older brother so angry that Esau said, I'm going to kill him. And it wasn't figurative, you know what I'm saying? He said, I am going to kill him. And Jacob, realizing that he was being honest about this, decides to head for the hills. And so he leaves. And he has this incredible encounter with God. And that's what I want to pick up with. And then we're going to move forward today. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Genesis 28. He meets God personally for the first time. So in Genesis 28, beginning at verse 11. Genesis 28, verse 11. So he, Jacob, came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones that was in that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Verse 12. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. And at its top reached to heaven. There the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And so at this point, God begins to speak to Jacob. Now, this wasn't just a dream. You know, how many people have dreams at night? You know, most of us do. Not all of us remember them. And that's just part of our sleep pattern. But there are times through dreams and visions that God is speaking. And so in this case, this is a God moment for Jacob. And so God says, look, and he goes on and says, you know, I've got a plan for you. You know, things are going to be okay. You know, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you come back to the land, I'll be there for you. And so all of these promises are made. And Jacob, out of this whole thing, he just goes, whoa, God must be in this place. He's just so freaked out that God, the creator of the universe, took time to talk to him. And he actually puts a stone up and pours oil on it and says, he names the place Bethel, which means house of God. He says, this must be where God connects to heaven. That's what he's thinking, because he had this dream concerning the angels coming and going. But for Jacob, this was his first connection to God. See, he had heard Abraham, his grandfather, talk about God and how he had had encounters with him. He had heard Isaac, his dad, talk about having encounters with God. But Jacob, until this point, he's probably in his early 20s, had never had a personal encounter, a personal moment with God. You and I need a personal moment with God. Now that begins, my prayer is that everyone here within the sound of my voice knows Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So you've had one encounter with Jesus. But I want to say to you that that's the beginning of an encounter. It's like you had an introduction. It's like, hey, I'm Jesus. I'm going to come and live in your heart. And you're like, cool, come and do that for me. And he comes in, and for some people, that's where it ends. Listen to me, church, that's the beginning. That's where God now wants to take you on this incredible journey through life where you're not alone anymore, where he can guide you and direct you in all that you're doing. You're not alone anymore. It's amazing. You've got this built-in guide, this GPS sensor, that's Holy Ghost, you know what I'm saying? That will take you to places that you will do things you could never imagine or could never experience without him. That's the God I'm talking about. And for the first time, Jacob had an encounter with God. But it was the beginning of encounters. We're not going to talk about any other encounters he has today, but it was the beginning of something. And for you, salvation is the beginning of something. Please listen to my voice. Don't stop there. If you stop there, yeah, you'll get to heaven. But God's got so much more than heaven. He wants to bring heaven to earth here through you. And for that to happen, we have to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the only way it can work. And God wants to do these incredible miracles through you and I to touch this lost and dying world. That's His heart. But if we're just getting to heaven, in a sense, by the skin of our teeth, you know, I've got Jesus in my heart. Okay, now I can just go do what I want to do. And there are people who do that. That's not good enough for us as Spirit-filled believers. God has so much more. And Jacob, for the first time in his life, realized that there was a connection between heaven and earth. He saw these angels going up and down this ladder, and he realized that God wasn't just some faraway God that kind of put seed on the earth and just left mankind by themselves and walked away, but he's actively working between heaven and earth, actively participating in this world. Now, you might say, well, God, you're not doing so good a job. Let's be honest. Like, God, what the heck? You know, come on, what about this? What about this? What about that? We could ask a lot of questions about that, couldn't we? But here's what I know. If we as God's children have a listening ear, God will direct you and me to our part. Here's the thing. That and that and that is above my pay grade. You hear what I'm saying? But what my job is what God calls me to do. What your job is to do what God's called you to do. And as each one of us do it, as members of the body of Christ, and we all function, then God is seen through the love of us to the world around us. Yeah, bad stuff's going to happen in this world. It's called the fallen nature of man. It's the way it is. But here's the thing. In the midst of that, the light of Jesus is to be proclaimed. And you and I are that light. You and I are that light. That's what God's called us to be. And I know at times in our struggle of life, we get caught up in what we see. I get that. You know, we get overwhelmed by the oppression and the sickness and all those things. I get that. But God has called you and I to lift our eyes up just a little bit higher. Let me show you a scripture that just talks about this very thing. I want to encourage you this morning in your faith walk. And so if you will turn now, here we want to go to a place in 2 Kings. Now, as you're going there, I want to quote a scripture. Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, and they're talking back and forth. But Jesus makes his statement. He says this, God is spirit. He says this in John 4, 24. God is spirit, and those who come to him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. Okay, so there's two parts to that. Truth, obviously, is God's word, the absoluteness of his word. The spirit part is obviously the Holy Spirit. And so you and I can't approach God in our natural. There are people who do it all the time. They make up rules and regulations, say this is how you approach God. You bow the knee, or you do this, or you do that. You say this, or you say this thing 10 times, or you hold this and do this. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe you were part of one of those kinds of things, or you know people who are. Listen to me. There is not a formula to approach God other than this. You need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is the gate. That is the way into His presence, through the Spirit of the living God, Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. Please do not let anyone tell you, well, you've got to have your hair just right. You've got to have, you know, here's one. You got to have all your clothes on. Guess what? God's got X-ray vision. He sees you the way you are. Every wrinkle, every bulge, every whatever you got or don't got, He sees it all. And what happens is we get all religious about coming to God. Listen to me. He just wants you. He just wants you to approach Him. He's seen all your nakedness. Remember, He made you in your mother's womb? He put every little molecule, every little atom, He weaved it all together. He knew what you looked like then. He knows what you look like now. And you know what? He still loves you. He's not laughing at you. He's just saying, I get to see Jesus look at me. I love that pudgy little guy. I'm good with that. I'm good. He loves me right now. The same as He loves each and every one of you. So please, don't judge others. Don't judge yourself. Let God accept you the way you are. One of His children. Amen? And so here's the thing, though. God wants you and I to see beyond this life. And it's a struggle that we deal with. Again, we are touchy-feely people. We have natural eyes, you know, here, and we see things. But here's the thing. There's another realm going on. And that's what happened with Jacob. All of a sudden, here he is, a guy deceiving to try to get to the claw's way to the top. You know, hurting other people around him, causing grief to his family, all of those things. To do what? To try to fulfill what God had called him to do. That's not how it works in the kingdom of God. When God calls you to do something, he will spiritually help you to accomplish it. And when you do what God's called you in the realm of the spirit, it will manifest in the natural. You don't have to force it or make it happen. It just does happen as you're obedient to him. And so there's an account here in Kings because I want to show you something. Here's the problem. Unless we understand there's a supernatural realm, a spiritual realm, we will function in the natural in everything that we do. And listen, some of you, and me included, we can do pretty well in the natural. We've learned to be clever. We've learned to know how the world works. You understand what I'm saying? We can function. We can make things happen. But how many people want to have the supernatural happen? I don't know about you. It gets tiring to try to make things happen yourself. You know, you're striving and struggling to try to get something to happen, only to, you know, fall flat on your face. When God says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, for my burden is light. That's what he says. And to come to that place where you're not trying, but rather you're saying, Lord, I'm trusting you. Well, here's the thing. For that to happen, we have to have eyes to see. So did you get to 2 Kings yet? You thought I forgot, didn't you? Yep. 2 Kings chapter 6. A little bit of background. The prophet of the day was a guy by the name of Elisha. Incredible man of God. And so he was supportive of the king of Israel at this time. So basically the enemies were trying to attack over and over again. And Elisha would advise the king on what to do. So we're picking up a story of that right now. So 2 Kings 6, beginning in verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God, which is Elisha, sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Verse 10. Then the king of Israel sent someone to that place which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. So in other words, this happened a whole bunch of times where Elisha would get a word from the Lord and warn the king, don't do this or go here. And not just once or twice, but multiple times. So could you imagine the feeling of the Syrian king? He's getting a little bit frustrated, I'm sure. And in fact, verse 11, we hear that. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So he actually thinks there's a spy. He's saying, look, there's no way that they can find out where we're going unless one of you guys are a spy. So here's the response of the servants in verse 12. And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Now, there's a whole side teaching right there that God sees everything. Just, you know, we could camp on that for a couple of weeks, just all right there. You know, sometimes what we do is we get all ready for church or we get ready and we go out kind of in our public life, so to speak. But are we the same person behind closed doors? Let me just give you a hint with this. Jesus knows. He knows. And here's the thing. Let me tell you something. He still loves you. In other words, it's not that he approves of whatever. You hear what I'm saying? But he still loves you and he wants to help you with it. Amen? But that's not what we want to talk about today. Let's move on. And verse 13. So the king said, go and see where Elisha is, where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. All right. So this king of Syria wants to go and get the prophet Elisha, who knows everything that's going on. Do you see a bit of a disconnect there somehow? Like this king he's got some issues. If Elisha knows everything that's going on, how is it possible that the king of Syria thinks he's going to be able to capture him? Like, that doesn't even make any sense. Let's go on and see. Here's the thing. God wanted this to all happen. See, God's got a plan in this. God's got a plan for your situation as well. Verse 14. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God, so the servant of Elisha, all right, went out early in the morning, There was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to Elisha, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with him." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open the eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I love this story. I love this story because it speaks so much to you and I today. So here's this king, the enemy, trying to capture Elisha, the man of God. Are things any different today? Don't you think your enemy, Satan, who's in this world, don't you think that he wants to capture you? That he wants to nullify your testimony? That he wants to bear down on you and cause you to fail and walk away from God? That's the enemy's agenda. That's what he wants to do. And so let's look at this natural situation for a minute. First of all, the king of Syria sends his army, surrounds Dothan, where Elisha is. Now, I can tell you right now, it's not in the Bible, but when we interview Elisha, you can ask him, and I'll be standing there. You can say, "Hey, did you have a good sleep that night?" You know what Elisha's going to say? "I had the best sleep ever. It was all good." Why? Because he trusted in his God. Now, the servant, on the other hand, it's a different deal, right? I can see in the morning he's getting up to get things ready, maybe prepare a meal. I don't know, but he got up ahead of time, right? And he opens one window, right? Looks out. What does he see? Soldiers and chariots of Assyria. So he closes that door. I can see that he goes to the other door. You know, he probably checked all four windows, you know what I'm saying? And realizes, hey, we are surrounded. And how does he react? "Oh, yeah, my God's a good God. He'll provide. It's all going to be okay." Now, that's not what he said. He went screaming to his master, "Elisha, we're toast." Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that's really what he says. "We're toast. We're done for. They finally caught up with us." In fact, maybe in the back of his mind, the servant's thinking, "Elisha got away with it until now, but now he finally got caught up to." I'm not sure this servant had a whole lot of faith. Or maybe the servant just didn't know what Elisha knew. It's the same for you and I. We may not have a faith issue. We may not just be able to see what God's wanting to do. Maybe we just haven't lifted our eyes up just a little bit. Because here's what happens. Let's look at this story. So what does Elisha say? "Oh, yeah, I guess this is the end." No, he doesn't. He says, "Those that are with us are greater than those that are with them." That's what he says. I'm sure the servant said, "You need eyeglasses, or, you know, what's the deal? Have a look." You know, I could see him going to the window, pointing. You know, "What are you talking about?" But here's what the Word of God says. Elisha prayed, and he said, "Lord, open his eyes so that he can see." And what did he see? Chariots and horses, a fire all around the Syrian army. See, that's what Elisha knew. Now, I wonder, here's a question for you, just a thought for the day. Did Elisha see that before, or just when he prayed? Or did he just know? You see, are we at a place in our faith walk where we don't have to see with our natural eyes, but we just know? For example, in Hebrews 1 verse 14, here's what Scripture says. Are not angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation? See, Phoebe Lynn back there, she's got an angel assigned to her. Now, did we see that angel? I didn't. You know, maybe somebody else did here. But the Scriptures say she has an angel. The Scriptures say you and I have angels guarding over us. That's what the Word of God says. So do we have faith to believe God at His Word, or do we have to see it like this servant did? Well, here's what I believe. God will show us what we need to see. That's what I believe. Because we have a God that loves us. Not a God that's going to say, "Well, you didn't make the grade, so I guess..." That's not the God that I know. He meets us at our point of need, at our level of faith. So if you need to see an angel, God will show you an angel. But I wouldn't go asking to see that. Here's what you do. Lord, give me greater faith. Wisdom to look higher than my circumstances. Because that's really what this story is all about. You see, the struggle is that you and I, because we have natural bodies, touchy-feely bodies and eyes and ears, that we see our circumstances and we feel like that servant sometimes. We are overwhelmed that there is no way we're going to get out of this thing because the odds are stacked against us. And what did Elisha do? He said, open the eyes of the servant so he can see. What you and I need to do is lift our eyes a little bit higher. In fact, there's scripture in Proverbs that talks about that, and Psalms as well, and it talks about that our help comes from the mountains. And I believe that that's speaking of the armies of the Lord, from the high place. Because here's the Syrian army all in the valley, you know, around Dothan. And where was God's armies? In the high place, over top. It's pretty amazing. Now, look at how this ends. Look at how it goes on. We're not going to go to the very end. But in verse 18, it says this. So when the Syrians came down to him, to who? To Elisha. Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. So he actually took them to the capital of Israel at that time, where the king was there with his entire army, who now surrounds the Syrian army. And they say, hey, can I kill him? The king of Israel says, can I kill him? And Elisha says, no. Give him water, give him food, send him back home. And from that point on, they never attacked Israel again. But what I want you to see for you and I this morning is what Elisha does. The enemy still came. Even though those chariots of fire were all there, it says the enemy came down to get Elisha. He had a conversation with him. Now, what if Elisha didn't know about the armies of God? How would Elisha have responded? Take me away, right? But he knew positionally he was the one in authority. Why? Because he had eyes to see, a heart to comprehend the spiritual realm. And so instead of being the one being oppressed, got turned around, he's the one oppressing them. In fact, who ended up being blind? The Syrians ended up being blind. Here's Elisha saying, make them blind. Open the eyes of my servant, but make them blind. But Elisha could only do that because he knew the kingdom. He understood that there was a realm of the Spirit. So here's my question to you this morning. Do you understand the realm of the Spirit? Do you understand that there's something more going on than you see in the natural? So when the struggle is happening in your life, are you so in the mud, so to speak, so oppressed by what you see that you can't see that God is surrounding the whole situation, and you just have to ask him, what do I do? And then God will give you instructions to be victorious instead of being the one getting crunched. You hear what I'm saying? This is actually a really big deal in the realm of the Spirit. But you have to see it and you have to believe it. If you don't, you will just bang and bump through this life in the natural. You'll have a struggle here and you'll crawl your way through it. And then you'll have another one over here and you'll crawl your way, try to make it through that. And you'll be like, oh God, please. You know, you'll be begging God instead of saying, Lord, your armies are here. Your angels are here. What do I do? What are my marching orders? You see what I'm saying? Because the Holy Spirit is in you. And you and I need to come to a place of seeing that. You are not the victim in your Christian walk. You're not. You are called to be victorious. There are no victims here. Not from God's point of view. You know why there's no victims? Jesus went to the cross of Calvary to save you, to cleanse you, so that you can be seated at the right hand with Jesus. That's what the word says. Seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's amazing. And so we're to be what? Looking down at our circumstances. Not looking at them, not looking up at them, but looking down at them. That's what God's called you and I as believers to do. Now, are we willing to begin to see that? Are we willing to exercise faith? I'm going to ask Gabby to come up. We're going to close with a song in a minute. We're going to do the Anything Can Happen song. Because here's what I believe. Anything can happen. If you're willing to let it happen. That's how God works in our lives. Here's the thing. Right here in church, God wants to do miracles. He wants to do miracles in your home life. He wants to do miracles in your job life. He wants to do miracles in your relationship life. Anything that you're concerned about, that you're having a struggle with, God wants to do a miracle in it. That's who he is. So Gabby's got a story to tell. What happened to her last week right here at Reach Up. So go ahead, Gabby.
Feeling it's a little like most mothers feel, he said something wise and sweet like usual, but, you know, that was a week ago. I can't remember what he said.
She still loves you, Nick.
Yes, yes. So I got up at one point to go to the nursing mom's room with Eli, and again, I'm feeling down. I was like, oh, I'm going to be in the back room the whole service. And, you know, and someone followed me in and handed me a piece of paper, and they said, this is for you. And I opened it up, and I had to, like, fight back the tears and as I was reading it. And it was just this beautiful letter from God that was like, you know, I see you. And even the things that you think of that are small or insignificant that you don't think matters if anybody sees, you know, even the hugs and kisses you give your kids, like, it doesn't matter if anybody sees that. But even I see those little tiny things. And so it was just kind of, you know, rest in me, trust in me, find your strength in me, because I see you and I see what you need and I see what you're going through. And I'd like to say that I remember that perfectly, but I'm not quite there yet. So I keep that note in my Bible, and I look at it. I should probably frame it right above my bed where I look at it first thing. But we're still learning and we're still struggling. And
amen. It's good. Amen. You know, this is the kind of thing we're talking about. This is not hypothetical. In other words, it's not like, okay, old stories from the past, that's over there. This happens today. And you can be a part of this as you walk with Jesus on a daily basis. This is what Jesus wants to do, is touch you. When you have a need, he wants to touch you. Now listen to me. There'll be times where you'll say, I'm needy, I need this. Listen, God will give you not what you want, but what you need. You hear what I'm saying? Sometimes that can be quite different. Just want you to be aware of that. But he will help you. He's there and he loves you. Now we're going to do this song. If everyone could stand up, we're going to worship a little bit longer here and then we'll close out the service this morning. But here's the thing. We've been using Jacob as our backdrop, so to speak. And he needed to have an encounter with God because he was going to go into some tough places. And if some of you here, you're going to be going into some tough places, whether it be at home, at work, you know, relationships, dealing with family. I get it. I'm one of you, okay? I keep saying I'm 49, but I'd be lying to you. I've been around for over 49 years now. Let's just word it that way. I just can't say that five word, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, 40, been a long time. And I've been where most of you are at different points in my life. And I recognize the struggles that we all deal with. So as this song is happening, anything can happen. What's God saying to you? And here's the thing. You can stay where you are and worship. It's all fine with me, whatever you do. But if God's calling you on a certain point to say, look, I am believing for this, and you insert whatever that is that God's saying, come forward. Let the leadership pray with you. Let us agree together in faith to see God do that anything miracle, that supernatural, like, push over the top, because that's what God wants to do here this morning. Amen. So just let's worship, but as you feel led, come forward, and then at the end of the